Our lesson today is motive for murder. Our key scripture is familiar to many of you, 1 John 3:12. And it asks the question, an assassin or assassins killed Charlie Kirk, father of two children and CEO of Turning Point USA. Charlie Kirk fell in the middle of the day before an assembly of better than 3,000 people on the campus at Utah Valley University. Charlie's security team and the campus police were frustrated at being undermanned, unable to secure the perimeter against a trained sniper or snipers. This all occurred on September the 10th, 2025. All Americans share that frustration. All our families are woefully understaffed to meet the exigencies of our day. And we see a bureaucracy that had no trouble rounding up most every January 6er, and school moms attending school board meetings, and grandmothers praying at a remote distance from baby murder mills. And we wonder why we are not rounding up all Antifa and transgenders who have openly confessed on social media platforms they will murder us all. And we wonder why these open confessors of criminal intent are not charged with conspiracy to commit murder. What happened to law enforcement? Charlie Kirk was the neighbor we all wanted. Charlie Kirk was the neighbor with whom we all wanted to work. Charlie Kirk was respected because he gave respect. He invited those who disagreed with him to come up front and speak to why they disagreed. Charlie demonstrated his insatiable desire to explore how and why they had come to their conclusions. You ever done that with somebody? Give them a full hearing. Ask them how they arrived at their conclusions. If someone would show us the same evidence we've seen, we might be drawn to make the same conclusion they've made. It's what Charlie called open dialogue. And he promoted it every chance, every opportunity he had. If you don't believe that, go back through the record. They have Charlie's open mic recordings where you can inspect his fruit. We're taught, don't judge by the appearance, but rather judge righteous judgment. The tree is known by its fruit. Did Jesus say that? By their fruit ye shall know them. He never disrespected their choice to disagree with him. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24. I encourage every one of you that still has good vision to follow this through with your own swords. It will make you prepared to give somebody an idea of why that hope lies within you. Why they can see Jesus in your eyes as they shine. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not a joke. It is very real. And his seed remaineth in us because, as Marlon said, born from above, born again. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit from him to us. When we think about how much we've got going for us, this world looks helpless. Seriously. At every opportunity, Charlie thanked them who challenged him for coming forward. Let us read together out of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Classmates, you are my classmates in God's classroom. Let's share the scriptures together. Verse number 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. How am I doing with that? Charlie never considered himself important. He considered the work he was doing of paramount importance. Did the assassin or assassins slay Charlie because he did not strive? He was apt to teach. Because he was patient. Let us share verse number 25 out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. How am I doing with that? Did the assassin or assassin slay Charlie because he was meek? Did the assassin or assassins slay Charlie because he instructed those that opposed themselves? Did the assassin or assassin slay Charlie because God, peradventure, might give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth? Let's share verse 26 out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. How am I doing with that? Did the assassin or assassin slay Charlie because they, those that oppose themselves, might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil? Did the assassin or assassin slay Charlie Kirk because those taken captive by the devil might escape their captivity? With the assassination of Charlie Kirk, do we now know of a certainty what our enemies are? Do we now need to know who they are? Let's go to the first book on God's library shelf, the book of Genesis, chapter 9. We'll be looking at verse number 5. Did God charge Noah with the duty for law enforcement? Hello? In Genesis chapter number 9, let us read together in unison verse 5. And surely the blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of every man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Who is the beast with a hand? For what will the God of our fathers, quote unquote, require the life of man? Let us share out of Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Is quote unquote, for in the image of God made he man, God's declaration of his care and provision for his own family on earth. The word man is from the Hebrew word for Adam. Quote, whoso sheddeth Adam's blood, by Adam shall his blood be shed, unquote. Does God's own family have law enforcement duty? Have we thought that duty is canceled in the New Testament scriptures? Let's go to John. The Gospel of John, the fourth gospel, chapter 14, verse 15. Is this Jesus speaking? Let us share out of John 14, verse number 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. How well have we been loving Jesus who first loved us? Some people have told me that Genesis 9:6 is not one of Jesus' commandments. We're still in the Gospel of John. Let's go back to chapter 10. Our verse is verse 30. Did Jesus prepare us to hear four chapters earlier in the Gospel of John whose commandments these are? Let us read together in unison out of John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. And did the Jews attempt to stone Jesus for declaring this? Did the Jews declare this to be blasphemy? What do we say? Do we say Adam kind is vested with government on earth and a duty for law enforcement? Could that be a problem? If in our own households we have not enforced God's law, how can we expect government or a beast system to do what we are unwilling to do? Do we always get the government or the beast system we deserve? Do those who murder, murder again? How then do we put away the evil from our midst? Have we tried obeying God? To which one of the Ten Commandments do we object? Let's go to Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses, chapter 5, verse number 20. For an instance, do we object to the ninth commandment? Who can recite for us the ninth commandment here in Deuteronomy 5:20? The first objection I usually hear from folks who object to capital punishment is the distinct possibility that someone who did not commit the crime is often found guilty. The organizations who specialize in rescuing those who were falsely convicted have rescued many from execution. The point is underscored by an old saying of trial attorneys, quote, swear the witnesses in and let the lying begin. Should we ask, what is God's judgment against those who, quote unquote, bear false witness against their neighbors? In our lesson, Judgments, April 27, 2025, we dealt with this question. Quick review. We're still in Deuteronomy. Let's go to chapter 19. We're looking at verses 16 through 19. May we do this as a responsive reading. What if two false witnesses can be found willing to perjure themselves against the innocent? Did that happen to Jesus Christ the righteous being tried before the high priest in the Sanhedrin in Matthew 26, 16? We're here in Deuteronomy 19. Classmates, would you let me read the even-numbered verses? Would you respond, please, with the odd-numbered verses? Deuteronomy 19, I read first, verse 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to do unto his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. Quote, so shall thou put the evil away from among you. Unquote. Does God's law fully provide for the prosecution of breaking the ninth commandment? Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Let us recite together in unison verse number 20. And those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. When is the last time we saw this judgment of our God applied in our war emergency powers courts? Has that even occurred in our lifetimes? Who now wants executions without God's safeguards for the guiltless? Did American pulpits stop preaching, quote-unquote, all the counsel of God Acts 20:27. Who was the first martyr killed for his faith? Do we know he was killed for his faith? When was the first murder in Adam? Let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse number 8. Did a child of the devil slay a child of Adam? Let us read together out of Genesis chapter 4 in unison, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Was a sheep alone with a wolf, quote, in the field, unquote? Was Abel the sheep alone with Cain the wolf, quote, unquote, when they were in the field? There is some evidence in the scriptures that Cain and Abel were twins in the womb. The most obvious evidence in support of twins is that they both came of age in the same year. Abel offered and Cain attempted at the same time in the same year. Does this mean that they were womb brothers? Twins. For those of you in the hearing of this message who are puzzled by the reference to a sheep and a wolf, let me put you in remembrance of the 23rd Psalm. Most of you may have hidden this in your heart, that we might not sin against thee. We had that scripture today. Psalms the 119th. A Psalm of David, altogether now, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Quote, the Lord is my shepherd, unquote. To what have we just confessed? To those who are tempted to maintain that they are reading someone else's confession, let me put you in remembrance of the 119th Psalm, verse 11 reads, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. How could that ever be bad counsel for Christians? Do we fervently and zealously desire, quote, that I might not sin against thee? Romans 10:8. Do the New Testament scriptures tell us how hidden in our hearts God's word is? The pronoun it refers to God's word. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 10. Let us recite in unison, verse number 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The underlying words are the Apostle Paul's quote of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Are we looking at the most serious evidence of the nearness of God's word, even in our mouth and in our heart? When Adam was given dominion, and that's no joke, and then placed or put into the garden, was he a sheep then? Or was Adam then in full power of dominion able to, quote-unquote, subdue the earth? Did Adam and we become sheep in the fall? Quote, in Adam's fall we sinned all, New England Primer, 1777. We are no strangers to wolves and sheep in the New Testament scriptures. Do we even know about wolves and sheep's clothing? Let's go to Matthew 10:16, the first gospel, Matthew, chapter 10, verse number 16. This is Jesus speaking. Let us share his words in unison, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Ever since Adam's fall have we been the smelliest, stupidest, and weakest of all the creatures God created to make. To anyone still willing to deny their own fleece, Suspicions rise that you may be wolves or serpents and harmful, eliminating any possibility you're doves. It is most necessary that God's move to protect his sheep on this side of life. Our situation is so precarious, we have no earthly guarantee of life into tomorrow. Psalm 66:9 reminds us that God, quote, holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved, unquote. Can we begin to appreciate how God moved to protect Adam by giving him the authority to enforce his law against those who shed Adam's blood? Let us return to Genesis chapter 4, first book of the Bible on God's library shelf. Could it be that Cain's embarrassment was public? Public? In full view of others? Was there more than the continent of Eden? If we keep in remembrance that Cain was exiled by God to be a vagabond and wanderer to the land east of Eden called Nod, a land of vagabonds and wanderers, the land where he took a wife, we might consider there was a lot more to the world than solely Adam and his wife and Cain. How many times do the scriptures instruct us God created and made the world to be fully inhabited in the habitable parts? Hello? How much of that fallen world maintained an interest in the yearly sacrifice made by Adam and his family? Was the assassination of Abel an event that stunned the world? Did the assassination of Charlie Kirk stun the world? Is there anything new under the sun? Genesis chapter 4 is not popularly preached. Why do pulpits conspire to rob us of any part of our Bibles? Put a mark in Genesis chapter 4. We'll be back. Let's go to Ezekiel 22. The end time prophet Ezekiel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Is there in America, quote, a conspiracy of her prophets, unquote? We're looking in Ezekiel chapter 22 at verse 25. Let's share that verse 25. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Coleman, thank you for that wonderful tour of Scotland and Ireland, especially Jeremiah's tomb and the Stone of Scone. When I first heard about the Stone of Scone in the 80s and was learning my heritage, my hidden heritage, kept from me. I was fascinated by the Stone of Scone. Your pictures and your witness, the family visit to Scotland and Ireland really struck home with me. Thank you. Do predators raven the prey? Is this America of the 2020s? Back to Genesis chapter 4, verse number 9. We're in the book of Genesis. Hear Cain's answer to God. Let us read together verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Without God's intervention, would this have remained a missing persons case? Without a corpus delicti, is there evidence of a crime? Was God with Abel when he was slain? was God with Charlie Kirk when he was slain? The word martyr means louder. Witness. Thank you. To be martyred is the ultimate left-handed compliment from the enemies of God. It is their confession they cannot defeat you. Hello? What happened when they stoned Stephen? What happened when they stoned Stephen? Did the Christians in Jerusalem scatter everywhere, witnessing and preaching the word? What is now happening subsequent to the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk? Are there scriptures that speak to the motive for Abel's murder? Let's go to 1 John. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. It's toward the end of God's library shelf. 1 John. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 13. Our signature scripture for this message is 1 John 3:12. In order to avoid missing the context in which verse 12 appears, we must begin with verse 10. This ensures us that we do not miss the contextual witnesses for a more perfect understanding of Cain's motive for assassinating his womb brother Abel. Let's share verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Quote, the children of the devil, unquote. Why does verse 10 state that both God and the devil have children? When we run into something difficult to be understood, how do we carefully and prayerfully proceed? Shall we take a moment to remember how much the God of the Bible bequeaths to his own children? He is not a God who is far off. The word testifies in a multitude of places. He draws nigh to those who draw nearer to him. One of the marks of a Christian or a Christ follower is we are serious students of the scriptures. The word disciple means student. Being serious students of the Word of God means we are drawing ever nearer to him. With Christ in us, the hope of glory, that's from Colossians, we have serious help to understand the words of the Lord, that's from Psalm 12:6. Which, quote-unquote, are spiritually discerned, 1 Corinthians 2:14. What question should we be asking ourselves concerning, quote-unquote, the children of God and, quote-unquote, the children of the devil? We have the gift of faith from our Heavenly Father in the truth of His Word. We have faith the Scriptures are in harmony each verse with every other verse. We have faith. Scripture interprets Scripture. We are not stuck with man's interpretation. Armed with this much help from above, we should be able to ask ourselves and our Lord and Master an on-point question concerning the children of God and the children of the devil. Verse 11, while we are thinking about that, shall we share verse 11? All together now, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning. You should love one another. Was Abel, like Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley University, unaware that Cain was not going to love him? When, quote-unquote, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, quote-unquote, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, Cain went into an internal rage quote unquote, and his countenance fell. Is this why the killing of Abel was an assassination? With Abel a missing person, would that guarantee Cain would inherit the blessing of the firstborn son? Shall we show verse 12? We have a custom here at Fellowship of God's Covenant People that sometime or other during the message, we stand in honor of the Word of God. May we do so now. And let us share out of 1 John 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Thank you. Please be seated. Quote, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Is this the motive for murder? At this point, what is the on-point question we should ask ourselves? Does every good question always contain a part of the answer? What question? Can we get a witness? Good question. Quote, in the mouths of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, 2 Corinthians 13:1. Is there a second witness to the motive for murder? Where would you go? If your vision's good enough to see the scripture on the screen, you can cheat and tell me. Proverbs chapter 29. We're looking at the last verse of Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 27. Does this last verse of Proverbs 29 picture an ongoing, continuing, relentless warfare that ends only, quote, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, a quote from Acts 3:19. We're in Proverbs 29. We'll recite together the last verse. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. The word abomination means utterly filthy, disgusting. What do you and I do in the kitchen with something that is utterly filthy, disgusting? Was Charlie Kirk an abomination to the wicked? Was all of this God's will? Or did all of this source from Adam's choice? Is the true remnant church on earth called the Church of Jesus Christ militant? Let's go to the second of Paul's epistles to his son in the faith, Timothy. Chapter number 2, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And our verse of interest here as a witness point is verse 3. Are we called to be good soldiers? Let us read together out of 2 Timothy chapter 2 in unison, verse 3. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Someone asked Charlie Kirk for what he most wanted people to remember him. He answered and said, he wanted to be remembered for courage in his faith. He knew for a long time that he was vulnerable to a trained sniper far from the field of vision. He refused to hide or fear. He considered himself unimportant. He considered the work he was doing of paramount importance. We asked ourselves two questions at the beginning. With the assassination of Charlie Kirk, do we now know of a certainty what our enemies are? Do we now need to know who they are? Is it true that we have the same enemies that God does? Should we ask the next question? What does God say about his enemies? We're back to Genesis chapter 4. You might be grateful you kept your mark there. We're looking at verses 17 and 18. This is about Cain and his progeny, or his descendants. Let's do these responsibly. Classmates, would you take verse 17? Would you let me respond with verse 18? We're in Genesis 4. You begin verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. We were talking in the car on the way up, Brother Chuck, Brother Alan, and myself, we rode together to get here today, about how similar the names of Cain's progeny is to the names of Seth's progeny, Seth, the firstborn son of Adam. How old was Cain when he begat his firstborn son Enoch? I don't know either. How old was Enoch when he begat his firstborn son Irad? I don't know either. How old was Cain when he died? How old was Enoch when he died? Have we seen through verse 24... none of that information is available. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5. We're looking directly at verse 3. This is about Seth and his progeny or descendants. Let's read together out of Genesis 5, verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. How old was Adam when he begat Seth? 130 years old. What happened to Adam's likeness and image in the fall? Look at verse 4. Do we know how long Adam lived? Let me read it for you. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Classmates, you have verse 5. How old was Adam when he died? And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. The same is done for every one of Seth's descendants through Genesis 5:32, even unto Noah. Because of the ages of the patriarchs when they begat their firstborn sons, their ages when they died, it is possible to calculate the lapse of time from, quote-unquote, the foundation of the world or Adam's fall to the flood of Noah's day. If Cain was firstborn, why was this not done with his descendants? The 116th. Look at the triumphant song. The 115th psalm, especially in verse 15. The psalms sing joyfully of God's care for his family on the earth. Let us read together in unison verse 15. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why are Adam and his descendants through Seth saints, and Cain's descendants through Enoch are not? Why are the deaths of Cain and his descendants not, quote, precious in the eyes of the Lord, unquote? Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 1. This is familiar to many of you. But as a herald of the gospel of the kingdom, it is my job to keep you in remembrance, even though ye know these things. There is a second witness to Adam's descendants through Seth, complete through Noah and his son Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Classmates, let me read verse 1. You have verse 2. I'll read verse 3. You have verse 4. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalaleel, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. What name is in our face, prima facie, absent? I heard it. Thank you. Why is Cain's absence from Adam's descendants preeminent and glaring? Both genealogies, Cain's and Seth's, are treated separately in both Genesis and 1 Chronicles. Could it be that Cain did not have Adam as his father? Is there any other mention in the scriptures that Cain might have another father? Let's go to the first gospel, Matthew, chapter 15, verse 13. We're drawing to a close here. We might have time for two more witnesses from the New Testament scriptures. Matthew reports Jesus is speaking. Let's share verse 13 together. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Do we have another witness in the New Testament scriptures that someone other than our heavenly Father planted plants that God did not plant? Let's go to Matthew 13, verses 24 and 25. Classmates, I'll read verse 24. Would you respond, please, with verse 25? Where in Matthew 13, I read first verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Quote, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, unquote. The enemy came and planted plants. Have we found someone other than God who planted plants? Our, quote, heavenly Father hath not planted, Matthew 15, 13. Was Charlie Kirk's death precious in the eyes of the Lord? Did God's seed remain in Charlie Kirk, 1 John 3:9. For lack of time, I can only leave you with one more question. Pastor Jerry of Christian Reform Fellowship, that's my home church, it got its name from Christian describes who we follow. Reform means we're trying to return to the faith once delivered to the saints, and fellowship is what we do when we get there, as Pastor Don reminded us. Pastor Jerry of Christian Reformed Fellowship is the only one I have ever heard pose this question. Is Cain still killing Abel?